Hello and welcome to episode 24 of Caithness Craft Collective. The blether is about Mr. Greedy and all things greedy. I have an interview from Richard of Energy Hunt Limited to tell us all about the premier renewable energy marine service in the north of Scotland. And if you think it sounds familiar because you hear it every week, but you don't know enough about it yet, my own business. We have the craft fairy and the Scottish segment. I have the news, the hellos, and I'll let you know what the collective have been up to. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from, so relax and get the links later. So get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. The blether.
No for the blether.
Greedy. He's pink, he's got an enormous bog, and he's the second Mr. Main. I give you Mr. Greedy. Here is my resident Mr. Main expert to tell you all about Mr. Greedy.
Mr. Greedy has a fat tummy and he likes to eat lots of food. He's pink. He has a smiley face.
Mr. Greedy learns a lesson in his book. He stumbles across a giant's dinner and he starts helping himself. The giant finds him and, as he's a wise and nice giant, he doesn't eat Mr. Greedy or grinds his bones to make his bread, but he does make Mr. Greedy eat up all the dinner. Mr. Greedy is sick with eating too much and he is never greedy again and becomes thin at the end, and he learns his lesson. The definition of greedy from Wikipedia is, it's an adjective, excessively desirous of acquiring or possessing, especially wishing to possess more than what one needs or deserves, wanting to eat or drink more than one can reasonably consume, gluttonous, extremely eager or desirous, greedy for the opportunity to prove their ability. It's one of the seven deadly sins, and it's not really a very nice trait for us to have. I've been trying to think of a redeeming feature for it. I think a small part of greed may be considered good for the competitiveness of life, such as business. Obviously, you have to draw the line somewhere, and we all wish the bankers who caused the world's recession stopped before they got to that point. If you're a banker, then I hope you didn't add to the crash. Not my listeners, you're all nice people. I have to confess to being greedy when buying craft stuff. I have too much wool, too much fleece, too much card, too many embellishments. Really, in all honesty, I don't need them. I want them, and I always want more. The newest colours, the newest patterns, the next big thing. And whilst it's not always a bad thing, if I can afford it, as I don't go out every weekend partying or spending my money on rubbish, it does come down to the heading of a luxury. Well, it's well down the list after nappies, food, bills, fuel. It's above clothes for my list, but then knitting makes clothes, so, well, that kind of helps. And I think some of it is to do with the fact that I don't live beside the shops. I have to make a special trip into town to consider what I'm going to purchase when I'm there. I do kind of stock up when I get to the craft shops in town if I don't have the bairns with me, as I don't take them in unless I'm desperate to get something. Daisy's too little to understand, don't touch all those pretty buttons and all that sparkly stuff. And Sandy, well, it's a shame on him because he gets bored easy. It's not fair to either of us, so I just go in when I need something or when I don't have them with me, which is not that often. I wonder if being greedy of time is with someone is bad. Not one of us knows exactly how long we have on this planet, and I think that's right, that we don't on account of, well, it would mess your head up if you knew when your time was up. It's hard sometimes to make the most of each day and be nice to everyone all the time, but we should, you know. I suppose if you did take up all of someone's time, then another person would be deprived of that someone's time. Also, other people might want some of your time too. There's not much goodness greedy front here, is there? Greed of food leads to obesity and lots of nasty things, mainly not getting into your genes for a starter. Well, I was a bit too greedy when I was pregnant with Daisy, and I'm still losing the weight. Last year I lost 2.5 stone, and this year I intend to lose the stubborn 1.5 stone to get to weight I was before Sandy. And now before you all moan at me and say, you're never the weight you were before bairns, you're fine as you are, listen to what's in my head first. Well, I was a certain weight from when I was 12 until I was 29 when I had Sandy, and then my weight went up and down with Daisy. And I would just like to be back to the weight that I think I am in my head, and that was for 17 years. And 17 years is quite a long time to be something, and I'm denying the 6 years of not being it. I lost the weight not by mad diets, just by smaller portions, no eating between meals, sensibly eating, and also, and I'm quite proud of this, running 174 miles last year. Not all in once. We figured that I had run from my house to Keith in Moray in the year, Granted, I would have taken the bus back, but that's pretty good going for someone with two small bairns and a hobby that works away a lot. We had invested in a treadmill, which was not cheap by any means, but let me tell you that it helped my motivation something getting onto it. And then as it became a habit, part of my routine, it was not really the cost of it that was my motivation, but the losing weight part of it and the exercise buzz kicked in. And I love my treadmill. I'm really sad that I love my treadmill. I'm fortunate that I have room in my house for it. I have it in the toy room, which is the sunroom, and the bairns potter about and I get my exercise them. It shows them that exercise is good, and Mummy is always so much happier when she's had her run. They get a wee shot in it too, obviously very well supervised, and nothing is left dangling or on. All of us very safety conscious when it comes to my running machine, because A, I love my bairns, and B, it's too expensive to break. I get to look out the window at the few cars coming and going, the changing weather patterns in the view, and the windmill. I listen to podcasts while running, well, at least the first mile, and then the second I need a bit bouncy beats to motivate me on. When I'm really fit, I listen to audiobooks, and I find this a really brilliant way to stay on longer, because you get lost in the story, and you don't want to get off until you find out what happens next. I try not to go on about it to anyone but my hubby, who's very bad at buying Doritos or eating after 8 o'clock. So, hubby, I love you, but please stop buying Doritos. Whilst on the subject of food, have you heard of a soaring malt loaf? Well, I did a follow Friday with a few of my followers on Twitter, generally who was on at the time because I could see how to spell their names correctly, and they started a bit of a party. You know, I don't get out much and I had nothing better to do. Anyway, I had the gin and there was two bottles of Jukers IPA looking at me, and I said, who's got the cake? Nessie Craft offered some Christmas cake, but, well, I'm allergic to almonds, so I said no thank you, but she could come in anyway. Then Tor and Isla tipped up with a soaring malt loaf and a bottle of ale for beer and ale pie and some tasters from the Brucheladach Distillery. Fantastic. I hauled her in by the scruff of her neck and swapped soaring malt loaf for some of Nessie Craft's Christmas cake. Now, obviously, this is all imaginary, okay? I'm just up to mischief here. So a soaring malt loaf is a small, very chewy and sweet with raisins in it kind of bread that can be eaten as it is or with butter. I don't believe that you get this stateside, you poor, poor people. So people of Britain, I think we should all try and throw a soaring malt loaf at them. 1, 2, 3, chuck! Mine's kind of didn't land that far. I'm not very good at throwing. I have been known to throw and hit my mum in the back of the head with a stick meant for the dog. Anyway, I have a story for you about a wee loaf that comes wrapped in plastic, normally in yellow and purple, as Soaring is the brand that makes it. And it was always a choice of food that my hubby would take with him when he went hill walking. And he would go with his pal Ian, who took the tea, and Wally the butcher from Bannockburn, who would take the meat pies. What a feast they would have sitting on the top of whatever hill or ridge took their fancy that day. And when we were in Oban, Wally and his wife came to visit us. We had a tiny wee boat at the time, and we had 6 prawn creels that hubby would haul in by hand. We would put them out on the Friday afternoon, baited, and on the Saturday afternoon we went back. We had a lovely trip out in the boat, went all the way up Loch Etive and back, right through the Falls of Laura, where there's an underwater waterfall at the entrance of Loch Etive, where the tidal race is, let's say, just a bit mad. I was very, very scared. And all the main folk never batted an eyelid. But we got back to the creels, and hubby got Willie to help him haul. He says, oh, this is awful hard work, Willie. And he kidded on that he was getting just a bit tired. So the last creel, Willie shouted, oh, here, there's something good in here. What's that? And there was a soaring malt loaf in the creel. And we laughed and laughed and laughed at this. Hubby actually nearly peed himself, but there you go, it was his joke. Back to Mr. Greedy. He has a bonny pink colour. I love the colour pink, and I'm conscious that I have never finished knitting the plastic bag, which is shocking cerise pink, and shocking that I haven't finished it. Last week, hubby was doing some wiring in the house and asked me to move all my craft stuff from one side of the craft room to the other so he could get in behind the wall. So I found a lot of things that I haven't seen for a while and quite enjoyed raking through the fabrics, wools and paints. I found the bag I was knitting made from plastic bags. I really should finish this at some point. And I'm not really into wearing pink much myself, but I like Daisy to wear it. She suits it. I'm drawn to the colour, and I think that's the girly girl in me. The song is More, More, More by Andrea True. It's a 70s disco classic, so you need to get your freak on. There is a film called Greedy from 1994, starring Michael J. Fox, Kirk Douglas and Nancy Travis. I currently have Michael J. Fox's autobiography out on loan from the library just now. I used to love him when I was growing up. so if anyone knows him, pass on my best. I wondered recently about celebrity knitters, as there was a thread on Ravelry about the very lovely Keely Hawes knitting, and also wondered if she was on Ravelry. And then I wondered if anyone with celebrity status listened to me. Ma! Nah. I bet they listen to some podcasts, though. Hello, if that's you. Actually, we are all celebrities in our own heads, so hello all. That's every single last one of you. Obviously, we have power-greedy dictators who want everything for themselves, but we cover that pretty much every week, so boo to power-greedy dictators. And I think the conclusion to the greedy blather is, try not to be greedy, as it's not a 7 deadly sin for no reason. Next time you go and start nibbling on a giant's dinner, remember, he might just make you eat it all. So beware. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee, stop and come back later. It's time for the Daisy Laugh. Now, I have another interview for you. The fact that my husband is on this week is completely nothing to do with Mr. Greedy whatsoever. Actually, I do have another interview lined up, but when I asked if they would like to be Mr. Greedy or Mr. Happy's blather, they went with Mr. Happy. So another interview for next episode. But here is my lovely hubby Richard to tell you what exactly my business does, because Melanie Money asked me specifically what I did. This is a not too long interview, which is nothing to do with craft, but lots to do with Keith Ness, and it's what keeps me out of mischief when I'm not speaking to you. So Richard, could you please introduce the name of the business and me?
I wanted to be Mr. Bump. Hi, I'm Richard, and with Louise, my wife, we founded, co-run and own our business, Energy Hunt Limited.
So what exactly does Energy Hunt do?
Energy Hunt is primarily an engineering business that provides design, operations, maintenance, project management and health and safety services to renewable energy generation assets and projects. We also act as a client representative and perform audits, inspections and due diligence on projects, contracts and individuals. These services are done predominantly on renewable generation projects such as wind, wave and tidal. However, in some cases we have worked on other large-scale generation plants such as hydro pump storage and fossil fuel projects. As an add-on service and in relation to the local wave and tidal projects, we also run a small coded work vessel which provides survey capability for inshore areas in the Pentland Firth area.
Can you explain what renewable energy is and how does it compare to other forms of energy, please?
Renewable energy has been with us since the first caveman lit fires, as in biofuels, wood and such like. The first home dwellers built houses to capture the maximum heat and energy from the sun, as in solar energy, and later wind and water or hydropower was used to turn mills or to grind crops and drive machinery. When the industrial age provided large-scale energy from fossil fuel raised steam, the scale of power required could no longer be sustained from the early forms of renewable energy. Now as worldwide stocks of fossil fuel become harder or more costly to obtain, and with ever-increasing worldwide demand for energy, renewable energy is returning as both a cost-effective and a cleaner, non-polluting form of energy production. Hydro is the most mature form of modern renewable energy, followed by wind power. Smaller-scale solar, heat recovery and biofuels are also established, and in our part of the world, wave and tidal projects are being developed and researched.
What are the challenges of working in this industry?
There are many challenges of working in the industry. These range from the competition from other established technologies such as nuclear and fossil fuel, the challenges of people's views on aesthetics, and most notably with wave and tidal, the challenge of working with technologies which are not as yet proven or have few years of established operation at a large scale or in a large numbers. But this is also what makes it so interesting.
What is our business's unique selling point?
Well, we have two distinct areas of skill. Firstly, we have had a first-class training and exposure to all main forms of electricity generation, from the shop floor up to operating and maintaining the power stations themselves. Secondly, we have managed teams and projects from development and financing stages through to commissioning and handover, and this has exposed us to many of the personnel and business challenges faced in all these stages of a project. Combining this experience and training with our current location, our assets and the opportunities occurring on our doorstep at this point in time puts us in a very strong position in the marketplace.
This is what I meant when I said it was to do with Keith Ness, predominantly because it's to do with our current location. And here, we're in Keith Ness. What's your favourite part about running the business?
Without a doubt, the biggest buzz is winning work based on our services, especially when we know we are competing against much bigger established companies with bigger balance sheets. Secondly, and just as satisfying, is getting feedback or repeat orders of work or referrals, which demonstrates we have done a good job and the client is pleased in what we have delivered.
Where do you see the business going?
We've been very conservative in our development. In early years, we worked for a small number of clients. However, now we have built this customer base to cover a number of utilities, technology developers and consultancies and service providers. We are now recruiting additional staff to grow with our expanding work demands and to reduce the number of contractors we use. We do not want to become so large that we lose touch with both our clients or our staff. Being small and specialist means that we can stick to what we know best, and that means people keep coming to us for that reason.
Where can we find out more?
The best place to find more details is from our website, which is www.energyhunt.com. And specific questions or details can be given if
you email me at louise.hunt@energyhunt.com.
For general information on renewable energy technologies, search the web, and in particular, www.renewablesuk.com, which is a very good source of information.
So thank you very much, my husband, and I hope that gives you a very informed view of renewable energy and our business. And like I say, if you have any questions, please get in contact. So now you will know what business is all about. I shall be asking you questions next week, so I hope you have taken note. I'm only joking. Right, craft fairy segment.
Craft fairy.
I'm wondering if I should just let the craft fairy go mad. But can we stand more snow? It is a bit of a dilemma. Mel and Money was wondering if the fairy is male or female, because she has her fairy as a man, like, and she would quite happily have Robson Green as her craft fairy. I personally have my fairy just like Tinkerbell, but it could be asexual like the angels and could be neither male or female if you like. So, it's your fairy to do with what you like. It could either be an animal or an insect, it's up to you. Any more subliminal messages I need to do, just shout. So, sending out get well wishes to Kelpat, who has hurt her ankle, and glad to see that Deadly Nightshade is improving. She went over her ankle and apparently it was the size of the moon. Hello section. We have now been joined by Georgia, the country rather than the state, into the United Nations of Crafting. Hello and welcome to Georgia. Hello and welcome to Last Knit 2, Wuraji, AC Bonnie, Muzzeriz, who secondly is very good at fairy, Rare Deer, more about her later, Prairie Piper of the Knitting Pipeline, and Sornum, who have joined the group in Ravelry. I love the chat and your project pages. And as usual, I am dancing with the little messages. Thank you for the reviews on Podbean, and I think this was BioBetty again. She's quick off the mark, that one. I had just uploaded the last episode and was halfway through listening to it with my hubby, and I noticed her comment that she had listened already and had noted that my link to Al of Monochrome Sheep that I had got Oren to say was a bit wrong. So I've corrected the link, and it was my fault, not Oren, because I was telling him what to say. I just edited out what I was saying, so he didn't hear that. But there is a dash between monochrome and sheep. And somebody has given me 5 stars, that is not me. So thank you very much for that. And hello to the new Twitters. Tweet me and I'll say hello and tweet back. I do enjoy the Twittering. What's the crack section?
What's the e-crack section?
Drive-by friending. I was drive-by friending of Bob Magoo of Crescent City. Well, as you've heard, we've been joined by Prairie Piper of Knitting Pipeline podcast. I've listened to quite a few of her episodes now, and I am really enjoying getting to know her through that. She has a nature notes part, and she was talking about all the different wildlife that she gets to see and to let her know of what we could see. And at this exact moment in time, I was down at the harbour walking the dog with the bairn, and I saw lots of ducks, a grey heron, lots of plovers, lots of shags, and that's a bird, by the way. Lots of seagulls, different types, the odd jackdaw, and about 5 common seals. We do get grey seals. Now, I see this every day, but I don't see them, if you get what I mean, because it was nice to actually stop and take a moment to think, oh, we actually do have quite a lot of wildlife here. This is not to mention the flocks and flocks of greylags, Canada, pinkfeet geese going about the Loch Mee, also the swans. I love hearing them honk as they go over my head. I like to think they're saying, look at that human having to walk, honk honk, ha. I was also listening to A Yarn Spinner's Tale, which is very good. I thought I'd try and find a podcast specifically about spinning to help me in my quest to spin. And I noted that she had an episode all about dying. This is what we're planning to do for the next craft night, which was supposed to be last Tuesday, but it's been postponed. And I'm just getting into her podcasts. They're very interesting. And also, another podcast, a new one, has come to my attention through me being nosy on one of you lovely listeners' project pages. Ray Durrell is the host of Craft Patience Podcast, which has two episodes thus far and is very, very good. She led me to find audiobooks, and there is an audio copy of The Wizard of Oz. I let her do the explaining for this website, and check out her project page because the R2D2 hat is fantastic. All three podcasts are on iTunes, and I'll put a link to them on my Podbean webpage. And I'm still not showing up on Internet Explorer properly. I'm really sorry if you're having this difficulty. I asked my computer literate friend about it, and he said that I'm missing out A and an A decreasing sign. If I find where it is missing from, it should help fix the problem. I'm contemplating moving the lot over to a WordPress site and hosting it from there. So if any of you have experience of this, please message me to tell me your thoughts on this. I hate the thought that people who would like to access the site cannot. And I know it's not good for all of you, but if you can't get through Internet Explorer, please try an iTunes me. If you subscribe through another type of site, like iTunes, message me and I'll add myself to it. I note that Ray Durrell has put an MP3 link onto her Ravelry page, and I've just noticed that I can do this, so I'm going to try and do this and list all my episodes on the forums, which should let you access them all. Hooray! Up the Ray Durrell this week. No, she's not paying me. I paid her. And Little Miss Patterns. I now have my partner for the Wizard of Oz Wicked Witch of the West swap. My parcel is going to Darlene Dampbart in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Cool. She sent me a lovely message, and I'm hoping that she loves what I sent her as much as I do, because, believe me, I would love to keep it. I'm going to tell you more about it all in the next episode, when I know that she has it, just in case she listens and it spoils the surprise. I've probably mentioned exactly what I'm giving her beforehand, but I've added a couple of bits. Well, Coggy might tell her, because she's in Grand Rapids or thereabouts. And obviously, Coggy knows everybody in Grand Rapids or thereabouts. But then, I'm thinking Coggy will be far too busy to listen to podcasts just now with Sarge being home on leave. Okay, you lovely listeners, I'm not speaking to you. Nobody has entered the Mr. Tickle material competition. Not one of you. Either you're all too nice to enter, or nobody wants the material. Which is kind of suiting me because I like it. Anyway, I'll put a better photograph up on Flickr. I've even ironed it ready for you. I'll leave this open until the 16th of February because I'm nice that way. And I also have a Mr. Greedy piece of material which is pink and a bit mad. So if we get people for the Mr. Tickle competition, then the Mr. Greedy competition is, what is your favourite food to eat when you are knitting? So you can private message me this. Or send me an email. And the Around the World Robin. Now, I've only got 6 people for this, and 2 of you are Canadian and 2 are from the US. And I've said that, well, I kind of lost a bit of enthusiasm for it, but if you still would like to do it, please put a message on there and, well, I'll kick myself into an enthusiastic Louise. Hello, I'm Louise and I am your enthusiastic host for tonight. Right, now, read, listen carefully. You all have a job to do. And don't panic, it's not cleaning the toilets after the Burns night supper. Did you all have a good time? I had a bit of tartan Burns lunch at school today and the Burns were treated to some bagpipes. One of the fathers came along and played for them and they had a bit of a dance. And then there were some guitars and some whistles and a fiddle as well. And the Burns were all in kilts and tartan skirts or blue and white for Scotland's flag. And when I went in this afternoon to mother and toddler group, they were all out in the playground and there was bagpipes playing. So I looked around for the dad to say hello, but it turned out it was a primary 3 Burn playing. Now, Joey Lynn will be delighted to hear that this wee boy has autism and he can play the bagpipes like our Prairie Piper. He's really good. For a Premier 3 Bairn, it's just lovely. The Bairns were bouncing about the playground and they were just having a whale of a time. And there's something about the pipes that puts a fire in the soul and just it gives me an energy and I bounced along that playground. and it was just played on a cold January day in the playground of a country school. Aye. Now, this job, where was I? No toilets. The job is for, on the 21st of February, you all have to think good positive thoughts for Sarah, and for my craft group, Vimto, who is scheduled to have her baby. And, well, I know that it helped me to have someone that was thinking of me when I had Daisy, so I'm hoping that this little thing will help her too. It's not a hard job, and you're all very capable of it. And she's doing the hard bit, and all realistic. Yes, she is. She's looking lovely, as they say she is blooming. You do, Sarah, so stop shaking your head, and we wish them well. I'm also going to put a thread onto the Ravelry group for everyone's blog address. Now, as you know, that I always go into your project pages. I do. If you're going to join the group, just be aware. I'm going to have a nose around. I am nosy that way. And even if you don't join, I might nose anyway. Right, the reason I do it is because I like to see what your interests are, what groups you're in. I sometimes go and see, oh, that's an interesting group. I'll join that too. I'm interested in that. Yep, I can see why you're listening to me. And 9 times out of 10, you're a much better knitter than me. And I just find that quite enthusiastic and inspirational. So carry on the good work. I will get to your point at some point in my life. I have noticed that a lot of the group members have blogs and websites listed. And I like these a lot too, and I think it would be nice for the addresses to be all in one place so everyone can get access to them. So I'll give you 3 to start with. Obviously, monochrome-sheep.blogspot, yarnsalad.blogspot, and clickerdeclick.blogspot. And it was really hard to just have 3 there, and I can instantly think of 5 more that I love, and I know most of you have them, so apologies if you're not in there, but that was my first 3 instant ones that I look at quite a lot. And I have mentioned them before, so don't feel left out. I would like also to highlight some of you that design and sell your patterns on Ravelry, please. And again, there are another 5 that I can think of, starting with you, Sarah Monty. Now, I thought I sounded a little bit too sarcastic when I mentioned her before, and I did message her and say, well, I thought I did, but she said I didn't, but it was just because it came out sounding sarcastic, but I meant it in awe. I had the wrong tone. Anyway, she does have some really lovely designs going on, and go and have a wee nose at them, even buy some. No, I'm not on commission. It's all about the craft man. I sound like such a hippie when I say that. And yes, I do cringe when I listen to it. No, see, they'll be cringing again. But I'd like to big up the blogs, and I think there's going to be a new spot in the podcast. And we have some really good designs going on and some really good knitters, so let's celebrate this. Now, happy Australia Day for last week, happy Chinese New Year coming up. I know I have 2 or 3 constant listeners in China. You are most welcome to contact me, you know. I also have quite a few listeners in Australia, and I'm still sending you all good thoughts for your flood clear up and the stopping of the rains. Because really, there's only so much rain that you need at one time. Also, happy birthday to Big Brother and my sister-in-law on my hubby's side. And it's all about the happy. But Mr. Happy's next episode. Now, before we move on, I have a bit of work news. I know we were talking about it earlier, but we are renewing our website this week. We paid for someone to do this. And I think it looks pretty darn good. So, big up the www.energyhunt.com to labour the point. Actually, your other job this time is to have a looky and see if you find any spell mistakes or missing links. Please contact me and then I can fix them. You know when you look at something too long, you can't see the mistakes anymore. Well, I'm kind of at that stage. And Hobby has also had a really good idea to go along with the website. We are starting a podcast for the business, aiming it at non-technical interested parties. It'll be about the business in the renewable sector, both locally, nationally and internationally, and as I'm doing it, it's not going to be that technical. This will give us something unique, as I don't know any other business doing it around here, and, well, I kind of know what I'm doing now. Sometimes. I'm afraid that there will be no craft in it, but you will learn something every month. It's going to be monthly, and it won't interfere with this podcast. He does have good ideas, doesn't he? Plus, we're taking on staff next month, which is very exciting. I'm glad to have you all on board the company bandwagon as my cheer squad. So back to the Scottish segment.
Scottish segment.
We've got the Normans. Not Norman Cook, as in Fatboy Slim. The Normans are one of the claimants of the English throne which opposed William the Conqueror. Edgar Atheling eventually fled to Scotland, and King Malcolm III of Scotland married Edgar's sister Margaret, and came into opposition to William, who had already disputed Scotland's southern borders. William invaded Scotland in 1072, riding as far as Abernethy, where he met up with his fleet of ships. Malcolm submitted and paid homage to William and surrendered to his son Duncan as a hostage, which began a series of arguments as to whether the Scottish crown owed allegiance to the King of England. Ooh. Normans came into Scotland, building castles, founding noble families, which would provide some more future kings, such as Robert the Bruce, as well as founding some of the Scottish clans. King David I of Scotland, whose elder brother, Alexander I, married Sibylla of Normandy, was instrumental in introducing Normans and Norman culture to Scotland, part of the process some scholars call the Davidian Revolution. Having spent time at the court of Henry I of England, married to David's sister, Maud of Scotland, Maud, cool name, and needing them to wrestle the kingdom from his half-brother, Malcolm Mac Alexander, David had to reward many with lands. The process was continued under David's successors, more intensively of all under William the Lion. The Norman-derived feudal system was applied in varying degrees to most of Scotland. Scottish families in the name of Bruce, Ramsay, Fraser, Ogilvy, Montgomery, Sinclair, Douglas, Gordon, to name but a few, and including the later Royal House of Stuart, can all be traced back to Norman ancestry. Now, see, I didn't know half of that because I thought that Normans were just invaders of England. I didn't realise that they came up this far. Well, actually, no, they never came up this far to Caithness, but they came up to Scotland. Every day's a good school day. Right, book review. Back to the craft. Now, I have a review of A Field Guide to Knitting by Jackie Pawlowski for you now. And as usual, I got this out from the library, and it's a very cute little book. It's about 4 by 6 inches, and it's perfect for your knitting bag. It is a stitch pattern book, basically, and I have used it, and I would say, pretty good. It was published by Askews, and it retails in at $9.99 UK, and is $15.99 US dollars. It is about 250 different stitch patterns in, which is quite nice. There is a well-worded introduction and explanation in the notes of each stitch, telling you how much yarn you would use, what you could use the stitch for, and a description of the pattern. In the middle of the book, there are coloured pictures of each stitch. I'm not quite sure if I like this because I don't like flicking backwards and forwards between pictures and patterns when I've got my hands full of the knitting. There were sets of patterns, knits and purl stitches, cables, open work, lace, ribbons and edgings. In the picture part, there are sets are colour-coded and the cables were in a sad brown and orangey kind of set of colourways. But I kind of like the idea of it being separated by colours. I just thought that the photography in this part laid it down. It was published in 2007, and I did laugh at the end where it mentions lots of relevant websites, it was actually quite well good, but it said that Ravelry is being beta tested at the moment and promises to be a powerful online community of knitters. Oh, how little they knew. There is a good conversion table at the back, which I did use, and I did look up brioche stitch, but I wasn't impressed with the level instruction for it. But for a small knitting back reference book, it is fantastic. I kind of want a stitch directory now. Right, oh yes, me, well it is the me show section. I must get Sandy to see that bit. Right, I carried on doing the peepog quilt at Textile Artists, and Helen very kindly just showed me how to cut the binding. And they generally do it at 2.5 inches strip wide, and then they join them in at right angles. I joined one back to front, but I am told that this is a very common mistake. She showed me how to turn the corners, and I thank you, Helen. Celia had taken in her projects from last year of her seeded garden with buttons, and they have come out lovely. Ella had taken along her dinosaur quilt that she's doing for her grandson in Australia. She has a background that has a loch on it and was cutting out the dinosaur shapes which had been adhered to Bondaweb. They're very colourful and perfect for a wee boy. I know my Sandy would like one. Now in our loch, she is having a mummy and a baby Loch Ness monster. How clever is that? I would never have thought of that, and I just think that's brilliant. Catherine was needle felting a corsage, which was, as usual, very elegant, and she was wearing a very bonny, crocheted, open ruffled scarf made from Rowan Kid Silk Haze. Now, Elle and I did drool over it. Not literally, but we looked and drooled. Then Dorothy had out with her, a finished needle felted picture that she had been doing last week. This was, say, about the size of the laptop, about 14 by 12 inches, and she had it framed. Now, she'd taken the inspiration for the picture from a biscuit tin picture of some Scottish lochs and mountains, Hoochmon, look for the haggis, that she had rescued from the bin, which had been due to be thrown away, but because she liked the picture, she kept it. Now, she said this was quite a few years ago, and she's been meaning to do something with it for years, and this felted picture seemed the way to go. And, as usual, I expect something wonderful from Dorothy, but, as usual, my jaw dropped, and all I could say was, wow. It was just like it had been painted. And I had to have a closer look to confirm that it was not. It was all needle felted. And then she said, oh, it was just something I liked doing. So she's sending it to her friend in Canada, and it's entitled A Taste of Scotland, which is very clever, considering it's from the top of a biscuit tin. Now, I've now sewn my binding onto my quilt, although I did have a problem with the bobbin again. Marjorie, the sewing machine, kept jamming and doing her Bob Marley impression, and, well, I wasn't really in a reggae mood, so I left her alone to sulk. I went back the next night, and I had Coggy in my ears, and I rethreaded it three times before I realised the bobbin was in anti-clockwise as opposed to clockwise. Learn from your mistakes, Louise. So, on went the binding, and, well, at the end, I was just seeing how it would stretch over, and some of it came away, because I'd not quite caught the edge of the material properly, and also the stitch length was a bit too long. I shortened the length from 2 to 4, and I went all the way round again. I then took out the wee clips which hold the quilt together, and this took ages, so I decided to leave it until textile artists again on Monday to slip stitch the back. And I am very delighted that I am getting there with this quilt, and I'm actually finishing things. I've also decided to join Caithness Quilters and learn more techniques, which this is good for you because it means that I have even more to tell you about. On the knitting front, I sat one night and I sewed together my North Ronaldsay wool handbag. I used the gusset, I had two panels and then put in a strip around to give it a gusset. So it's a kind of box bag. I then did a line of double crocheted along the top to even it up, and it does now need lined and some kind of handles on it. I took it upstairs to match some material, but so far not really found anything suitable. It's a light natural colour wool and I'm not sure what's going to go with it. A tweed or some deep red cord or, like, I don't know, it's just not quite spoken to me yet. And I also knitted quite a lot of something else which I cannot tell you about until the 21st of February, which you've got a job to do for it. Can you guess what it is? Yep, I'll tell you all about that afterwards. I also looked out my asymmetrical cardigan pattern and yarn and worked out how many balls of wool I needed. Well, the pattern said I needed 790 metres. My 8 balls of Wendy Fusion works out at 704 metres. So it's almost like my kingdom for a horse. Or just a ball of fusion would be nice. So I don't know. Mind you, I could just do one cable on one side and not have much of a collar, as apparently doesn't stand up anyway with it being a softer yarn and then the pattern suggestion of Malabrigo yarn worsted. And I really would like to do this too. I'm also conscious that I need to get back to my tank top. Ah, you'd forgotten about that, hadn't you? Wait, carry on forgetting it for a while, won't you? I've also been spinning the brown Jacob fleece, which I am slowly getting there with. And today in the post, I had a lovely package from Gaius Colours. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Can you remember a wee while back I did a craft Chamber of Commerce for Gaius Colours over in British Columbia? Well, she's still there, and the link will be in the website again, and she has sent me over a selection pack of roving. And to tell you that I did the dance of the happy feet penguin mumble today, it was a slight understatement. I squeaked and I squealed and I was so happy, so thank you very much, it was very kind of you. And not to be Mr. Greedy, please nobody send me anything else for a while till I've done something with the stuff I've got. It's very kind of you, but I would be being Mr. Greedy, and I don't need to eat all that cake. Right, thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. If you would like to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt, or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or Caithness Craft Collective at gmail.com. Leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes or on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. Unless you're in an explorer, but I am trying to fix that. And on Twitter as Caithness Craft. All the links are on the show notes, so go there and click anything you want more information on. The music for this week is Caledonia by Caledon X from www.musicalley.com, playing us out. Cheers for listening and keep on crafting.
About you all the time.
Yes, I think about you.
Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm going.